In the prayer life of Moses, we considered it last week, and this week I want to consider a threefold area of the prayer life of Moses. I got it down in scriptures I want to bring to your attention. It will start at Psalm 106. Because some of the Psalms are commentaries on earlier scriptures, and these are the most important commentaries. So in Psalm 106, look first of all at verse 21. They forgot God their Savior. We have done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham, and terrible things by the Red Sea. Therefore, he said, he would destroy them. Had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach, to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. That Moses once. Now, look over at verse 32. They angered him also at the waters of Meribah, so that it went ill with Moses for their sake. Notice, here is Moses, and it tells us that he stood in the breach, and here is an area of prayer in the life of Moses, when he is praying for his countrymen. You say, well, why would you put that in a special category? It's because he prayed for them again and again and again. And then, notice, it's so good that God stands up to Moses here in the scripture. Verse 32, they angered him also at the waters of Meribah, so that it was ill with Moses for their sake. So you would think that since God knows that it was they that caused things to go wrong for Moses, that he would be free to do what he wanted to. But look at Numbers chapter 20 now, because this is another area of Moses' prayer life, and it's so hard when we consider this infraction of Moses and the severe consequences that follow. Verse 10. 2010. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock. And he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels, shall we bring you forth rock, water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand and smote the rock with his rod twice. And water came forth abundantly. And the congregation drank, and their cattle. And the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, because you believe not in me to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. This is the other side. It says it went ill with Moses because of the disobedience of the children of Israel. But even though they were the cause of it, when Moses collapsed and disobeyed God, then it went ill with him, and the consequences flowed in spite of the others provoking him to do what he did. Now, turn to Exodus. Exodus 12. Verse 12, chapter 33. Exodus 33, 12. And Moses said unto the Lord, free thou sayest unto me, bring up this people. And thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found favor in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found favor in thy sight, show me now thy ways, that I may know thee, to the end that I may find favor in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. 4. Wherein shall it be known that I have found favor in thy sight, I and thy people? Is it not? In that thou goest with us, so that we have separated I and thy people from all the people that are upon the face of the earth? Now, notice this second request. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken. For thou hast found favor in my sight, and I know thee by name. Now, this request. And he said, show me, I pray thee, thy glory. Notice two things. Look in verse 13. Show me now thy ways. And then, in verse 18, he says, show me, I pray thee, thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I show mercy. Now, look at one other portion. Verse 5, chapter 34. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there, and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord, it's literally Yahweh, Yahweh, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness and truth, keeping loving kindness for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children, upon the third and upon the fourth generation. That's all we'll read. And now, one of the least rewarding vocations in life is being a shepherd for the children of God. So often, you go unappreciated. What happens is this. If you are a shepherd, and everything goes right, that's taken for granted. And if anything goes wrong, you are criticized. They complain. They blame you. And this is the way that it was with Moses. Let me tell you something a little humorous. I didn't read it to you, but I'll tell you about it now. You'll find an interplay upon the words when God says, the people that you, Moses, have brought up out of the land of Egypt. And then Moses will say, Lord, the people that you brought up out of the land of Israel. And God will say, the people you brought up. And Moses will say, no, the people that you brought up. And that is the significance of his prayer in chapter 33 about consider Israel thy people. You see the importance of that? And this is what is so burdensome. When the people of God give you trouble, and then at the same time, God holds you responsible for your failure. Even though the people of God have provoked you and to behave in the way you have, God holds you responsible for your behavior. And this is why I want to talk to you about a threefold prayer area in the life of Moses, because in some of these areas, God answered prayers, and in some of the areas, God does not answer prayers. And I want you to see it, so you won't forget it. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 3. I read to you in Numbers chapter 20, where the judgment went forth. And in Deuteronomy chapter 3, look at verse 23. And I besought the Lord at that time, saying, O Lord God, what hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness and thy strong hand? For what God is there in heaven or in earth that can do according to thy work and according to thy mighty act? Let me go over, I pray thee, and see the good land that is beyond the Jordan, that goodly mountain and Lebanon. But the Lord was wroth with me for your sake. They are both of them together. and hearken not unto me. And the Lord said unto me, Let suffice thee, speak no more unto me of this matter. Get thee up unto the top of Pisgah, and lift up thine eyes, westward and northward, and southward and eastward, and behold with thine eyes, for thou shalt not go over this Jordan. Now, the threefold areas are these. When Moses prays for the nation of Israel, time after time, God answers those prayers. At times, when Moses prays for himself, God answers those prayers. But the thing that Moses wanted as much as anything else in his life, he prayed that prayer to God. And God not only said, no, but he said, let suffice thee. Speak no more to me about this matter. Now, at least in 2 Corinthians 12, the apostle Paul that had the thorn in the flesh cried to God one time, two times, three times, and then the Lord answered him and explained the withholding of the answer. But in this case, Moses prayed, and God said to him, let it suffice thee. That would be a frightening thing to be praying to God, and God says, enough. I'm not going to do what you asked me. I will let you see the promised land, but you are not going in the promised land. Now, this is why I say that one of the most difficult and unappreciated and unrewarding services in the world is to be a shepherd for the people of God. It is rewarding inasmuch as you're doing God's will. Any time the Lord tells you to do His will, whether there are great rewards or small rewards, the reward is that I have given them Thy word, I have preached the word, I have finished the work that You've given me to do. That is a great enough reward that you know the will of God and you do it, whatever the outcome might be. And in this case, Moses did the will of God. One infraction. In his whole life, God emphasizes one infraction. But that was enough to destroy the hope that he had had for 40 years. So let's think of these three things now. Moses praying for Israel always answers. Moses praying for himself sometimes answers. And then Moses praying the thing that meant most to him personally, his whole life long. And God said, I'm not answering that prayer. So this may be true in the areas of our lives. Think now, we have to pray for one another. When you pray for somebody else, that is intercessory prayer. At times, you pray for things for yourself, that is personal prayer. And what is so good at the first is that Moses, of necessity, had to be a man of prayer for this reason. Can you imagine being in charge of 1 million freed slaves and having to lead them to the promised land without the presence of God? And that is why Moses is praying. So early, as soon as he takes them out of the land of Egypt, things start happening, and he has to start crying to God because of the disobedience, because of the hatred, because of the envy of the children of Israel. He has to start praying that the judgment of God will not fall upon them. And again and again and again, God answers his prayer. At times, partially. At times, completely. Because one time, think of this, when they had that golden calf made and were sitting down to eat and drink and rising up to play, God said, let me alone and let my wrath wax hot and I will consume the whole nation and make of you a greater nation. And Moses cried unto God for deliverance. And God answered his prayer. That's what I read to you in Psalm 106. Moses stood in the breach. And the nation of Israel, and here is what I want you to see, because someday it may devolve upon you. Turn in Exodus again. I want you to hear these words. Exodus chapter 32. Remember, this is the man who gave up the throne of Egypt, being called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and went into Egypt to deliver slaves. And this is what they think of him. Verse 1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mount, the people gathered themselves together at Aaron, and said unto him, Up, make us God, which shall go before us. For, as to this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we know not what is become of him. Isn't that encouraging? He has sacrificed his life to bring you out of Egypt, and now he's in the presence of God to receive the commandments of God. And while he's gone, they say, we do not know what has become of him. And so notice the way, the insulting way that they speak of him. As for this man Moses that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. And so that is what they thought of him. The man that is responsible, humanly speaking, for freeing them from slavery, and they're prepared to forget him that quick. So it doesn't matter how long you have worked for the people of God, how many sacrifices you have made, leave them for a while, let something be misunderstood, and they're liable to say, as for that John Mills that started this assembly, that helped us along, we don't know what's happened to him, and so we've got to do something else. So do not be taken by surprise. So here is an example of a good shepherd, one who cares for the Israelites, and one who, when they sinned against God, and when they sinned against him and were envious and jealous and spoke insultingly of Moses, Moses would go and pray unto God for their deliverance. So here is what we should remember, that when things do go wrong, you think they should go right, but they go wrong, then your recourse is prayer. That's the only recourse that Moses had. To whom could he go? And I'm trying to think of one with whom he could have fellowship. You would think he could have fellowship with his own brother Aaron, who was to be the high priest, but Aaron was the one who made the golden calf. And you'll find out, and this is why we are not to be without hope, that even though his own brother Aaron failed him, God raised up a man named Joshua, who was going to take over when he died. And Joshua was faithful. Let's remember that. But the only thing that Moses could do when all of these burdens were upon him was to cast himself on God. At times, the burden became so heavy, turn to Numbers 11. I want you to see what happened. Numbers 11. His father-in-law, Jethro, had helped him out once when he had burdened himself. But now, look at verse 11. And Moses said unto the Lord, Wherefore hast thou dealt ill with thy servant? And wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? Have I conceived all this people? Have I brought them forth, that thou shouldest say unto me, Carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing father carrieth the sucking child, unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers? When should I have flesh to give unto all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, Give us flesh, that we may eat. I am not able to bear all this people alone, because it is too heavy for me. And if thou deal this way with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand, if I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my own wretchedness. Isn't it a sad thing that a man would pray unto God in this matter, that the burden has become so heavy that it is intolerable? And Moses says, I do not want my wretchedness to be exposed. I can't go on any longer. I need some help. And so then God says, All right, I will give you 70 elders of Israel. And he died. And then they assisted him. His father Jethro had seen him, and this shows you how conscientious Moses was, had seen him sitting from morning till night, listening to the troubles of the people and making decisions for them. And his father said to him, "Why, you will wear yourself out, and you will wear the people out. Suppose you came at sunrise and sat all day long, and there were so many people waiting to hear the will of God that they never got around to you. And they would be disappointed. And Moses would be burdened down." And so Jethro said, "If God commands you, do it this way." And so there were some changes made. But then these burdens still were so heavy upon him that he said, "I must have assistance." And so God gave him more assistance. So think of this now. Here is a man, and he is one of the two that God uses as examples of men respected by God for prayer. It says in Jeremiah 15, he said, "If Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet would not my face be toward his people." Not even Moses and Samuel could change God's mind. But Moses had done it again and again. And so here are some areas in which he prays to God, and God does answer. But there are other areas when God does not answer. But I want to tell you the one area, and something that neither you nor I will ever see when we get to heaven. He prayed for two things. He said, "I want you to show me your ways, and I want you to show me your glory." So think of that. In a world that's filled with so many opinions as to what God wants you to do and what he wants man to do, for you to go into the presence of God and say, "Show me thy ways." And God says, "Yes, I will show you my ways." And then at the same time, all the speculation about the attributes of God. And Moses said, "I want you to show me your glory, your manifest excellence, your attributes." And God said, "I will do that." And no one on earth, even in the day of Christ, has had the intimacy with God that Moses did, other than his son. It says, and God is talking about others. He said, "When I speak to other prophets, I will speak to them at a distance. But when I speak with Moses, I speak to him mouth to mouth. I speak to him face to face." And that is the intimacy of Moses. And so now Moses is praying for two things. And if you take a moment, you'll see how fitting it is. I'm thinking this. If I pray, "God, show me your ways," it's something I want for myself. And if I say, "God, show me your glory," it's an experience that I want to have. But in the light of what we've read, here is Moses, and God has said to him, "I'm not going with you to the promised land." Think now. Suppose you have organized a people, the people of Israel, and you are their leader, and they say, "What are we to do? How are we to live? What is the decision concerning this infraction?" And Moses would say, "I don't know. I don't know." And so God said, "I'm leaving you alone. You'll have to take them into the promised land by yourself." And so Moses says, "I must know your ways." And what causes us to rejoice is this, that all that you read in the book of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, these are God's ways that God revealed to Moses. Now that's brilliant. That you have a million people, and they're not caring about God's ways. They're quite prepared to worship a golden calf. But Moses said, "I must know your ways." Now I think about knowing the way of God for my own life, how to live. But Moses said, "I want to know your ways." Why? So that when people come and do this on the Sabbath day or offer such a sacrifice, is it right or wrong? How are we to worship you? And God said, "I will show you my ways." And he began because, understand, God himself once, and if you read it carefully, you'll find that God the second time with his own finger wrote the Ten Commandments. This is the basis of the covenant. It's called the Ark of the Covenant, because God's covenant is set there. But those Ten Commandments need details and explanations, and therefore, when God answers Moses' prayer, "Show me thy ways," he gives him access to Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, covering all the areas that could arise in the lives of the children of Israel. So God answered that prayer. Now this, right now, at this day, some people are asking, why did this judgment fall upon this man? Why is this man suffering so severely and this other man is going free? What Moses wants to know, not only, what are your ways, show me thy ways, but he says, I want to know what you are, who you are, that you give us these ways. This is how we are to live. I want to know why you tell us to live this way. And then God says, I will tell you that as well. And there are so many people sitting in judgment upon God, saying, if there were a God in heaven, he would not cause this, he would not cause that. And did you notice that when God is showing him his glory, he's telling him his nature and the way he does things, he says, I'm a merciful God. I'm slow to anger. Think how important that is. I would have thought when God's judgment fell suddenly upon people that he was quick to anger. But God said, no, I'm slow to anger. You do not know how long I've waited. He said, I'm filled with mercy. And not only that, I also am a righteous and a holy God. And I will visit the iniquity of the fathers upon the children of the third and fourth generation. Now, we do not like that. But God says, I'm telling you my nature, my glory, my attributes. And so there is the mercy of God, and there is the judgment of God. Just as Paul says, the goodness and the severity of God. And God says, all of these things are true concerning me, and you'll have to come to me time and again to see how one of my attributes causes this way to go forth, and another attribute causes this way to go forth. But what Moses can rejoice in is this, that he said, God, show me thy ways, and God did. And God, show me thy glory, and he did. And then Moses understood about this God and why he conducted the earth and the determinations in the lives of men the way he did. And time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, we thank you for a man like Moses. Let us know that some of us would have given up long before. We would have seen that people cared nothing for us. They were unworthy of our leadership and would have departed. They were ready to go back into Egypt and leave Moses. A man less than Moses would have left them and gone about his business. But we thank you for this man Moses. We thank you for his prayer life, our God, for the things that you answered for the benefit of the people of Israel. And our Father, we are sad to think of the things that he asked that you did not answer for his own personal benefit. Help us to know about the goodness and severity of God, especially when we think of how often you answer prayers for those that seemingly are unworthy, and then for someone who has been provoked to do something that displeases you, Father. You will not answer that prayer. So help us understand your ways, and help us to understand your glory. Bless us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.